A new report released by UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, contains an appalling statistic. Each day, 20 children are killed or maimed in conflicts around the world. That's since they began recording data in 2005. A staggering 315,000 grave violations against children have been verified by the UN. Thousands of children have been abducted, recruited into armed conflicts, and subjected to sexual violence in global conflicts over the last two decades. Now, this is a very tough subject and a warning. We should say some viewers may be disturbed by some of the details in the conversation I had earlier about this report with UNICEF's executive director, Catherine Russell. Help us understand the context here. How do you gather these numbers? And are these conservative estimates or worst-case scenarios?
I think you make such a good point, which is these are quite conservative estimates. These are cases of where we can actually verify what happened, which means we're sure there are many, many more children who are suffering. And these grave violations are everything from children who are killed to seriously injured to abducted to sexually violated. I mean, it's just a horrific list of challenges that children face around the world. And I have to say, our estimates now are there are about 400 million children who are living in some situation of conflict at this, even today as we speak. So it's a staggering problem for children in so many parts of the world.
These do stretch over about 20 years that you looked at. Have these numbers been getting worse over the years, or have they remained steady?
You know, somehow the number of conflicts keeps increasing. The thing that's gotten the most attention in the last year has been the conflict in Ukraine. But the problem is none of the conflicts ever really seem to go away. So we're still looking at challenges in Syria, for example, in Yemen. These places are persistent challenges, and children, in every situation of war, children suffer the most. I mean, that's just the reality that we have to deal with. And some of it is direct suffering, where they're injured directly, landmines, attacks, things like that. In other cases, they suffer because the systems that they rely on, education, healthcare, water, are destroyed so often in conflict.
Catherine, you yourself have traveled to Ukraine and Syria and Yemen. Tell us about some of the children you've met and what they're facing there.
You know, the wonderful thing about it is almost everywhere I go, I see children who just really desperately want to be children, you know, and you'll see them and they'll start playing a game or playing tag with each other. But I've also seen so many horrific situations and heard so many terrible stories. I remember one, I was at a hospital in the Democratic Republic of the Congo where they treat children and women actually, who have suffered some sort of sexual violence typically, and they have something called fistulas, which is a physical problem that results from very vicious rapes. And I saw one little girl who was so cute. She was playing. I assumed that she was a child of one of the women who was there being treated. And I talked to the doctor there, and he said, "Oh no, she was, you know, she was a patient." He said it was one of the hardest things he's ever had to do was to really put her back together after she had been just viciously sexually violated. And you have to wonder, you know, why? How could anyone do that to a four-year-old baby? So I've seen that. I've seen children in Ukraine who are suffering from the after effects of the constant shelling. I met a family where the son was quite disabled, severely disabled, and every time those sirens would go off, the alarms would go off, he would completely fall apart. And so the family, because he was bigger, even though he was sort of childlike, they couldn't get him into the bomb shelters. And so, you know, persistently the family was like just trying so hard to protect this child, this son, but also unable to do that given what was going on. So I've seen just countless stories like this, and it is truly, it's a situation where you see just, you know, how horrific human beings can be to each other, and that when that happens to children, it's just particularly hard to deal with.
Catherine, it's unimaginable what you're describing children are enduring around the world. As part of your report, you project an alarming funding gap as well, a projected shortfall of $835 million in 2024, nearly $1 billion by 2026. What is it those funds go towards? I mean, in these circumstances, how is it you can support these children short of ending the war or the conflict?
Well, you put your finger on it, right? First of all, the worst thing that can happen to children is a war. Children don't start wars. They are unable to end wars. They just suffer in wars. So what we do is, in the context of something that's already terrible, which is what children are facing, we try to help put them back together in a sense, right? We give them psychosocial support. Often we give them physical, you know, medical support if they've suffered, which many children have. I mean, I saw one child in Yemen who'd lost both his legs. I mean, it was so sad and so painful to see. So we help on that side. We also importantly try to make sure these children are still getting educated. You know, a lot of times in a conflict, as I said, the services aren't happening. And so children, in addition to being in the middle of a war, are also not getting an education, which sets them back so far. So we provide education services, we provide water, we provide sanitation, all the basic needs that we possibly can for children. But at the end of the day, you know, once they're in that situation, it's already horrible for them, right? We're trying to make the best of a bad situation and trying to help them recover from a situation that they shouldn't have been in the first place.
With a growing number of children in these situations, if this kind of support is not provided for them, what do you worry will happen for this generation of children?
Yeah. Well, you can imagine. I mean, I've seen in some situations what happens. These children just get lost. You know, they are not getting educated. They have terrible physical problems. A lot of times they end up, you know, in many places it's hard for children who are disabled, you know, whether from war or otherwise. But when they're disabled in war, a lot of times they don't, even as the society starts to come together, these children are often not included in schools and other activities. It's challenging to raise resources for issues like this because I think in a way, you know, the world community looks at it and they think, well, this is just kind of what happens. And it's not, you know, these conflicts go on for so long that people kind of tire of it. And I think it is important to remind the world, and that's why this report is important, to say, don't forget these children. You know, they are blameless here, and they deserve an opportunity to live a decent life, and we have to do everything we can to help them.
As you've said, children shouldn't pay the price for the wars of adults. That is Catherine Russell, Executive Director of UNICEF, joining us tonight. Catherine, thank you so much. Mm-hmm.